over time, or we see a giant outburst. And in that outburst, that's where we see things like addictions, compulsions, meltdowns. We actually live in a far too narrow range of what's okay. Strong emotions themselves are not bad, but we're associating the strong emotion with the outburst. And it turns into this self-fueling cycle where we feel something strongly, we suppress it, it bursts out, we think, oh no, that was that strong emotion, and so we stuff it even more, and it bursts out even bigger. Strong emotions are not bad. We stuff because we don't have emotions, we are logical beings, don't like to pretend that we feel, but we also stuff because feeling is intimidating. Feeling is hard sometimes. There was a time where I was going through a really intense period of mourning. And God kept pestering me about it. And he kept saying, okay, we have to talk about this. You can't stuff it. You have to process through it. And finally, I kind of lost it in the living room a little bit. And I just said, no, I am too scared. I'm worried that if I open that door just a crack, that everything's going to come bursting out, the floodgates will open, and I'll never be able to close that door again. And once I voiced it, it was really the oddest experience. See, God is a God of consent. He's a God of patience. He has all the time in the world for us. And so once I voiced this, instead of the floodgates opening, it was like one thing at a time. Let's talk about this. Let's process through this. And once I was ready, then we talked about the next thing. Now, there's certainly been times where I'm wrecked for an afternoon. I'm just a total mess. But I walk away realizing how worth it was. It's an afternoon. See, feeling requires both space and it requires time. This is part of why counseling is so beneficial. A huge part of it is they have an education and they know what questions to ask, but part of it is it's a designated hour every week, 2 weeks, month, to sit and be in tune with your emotions and process what you're feeling. So what, you lose an afternoon. And this is challenging. So what? You lose an afternoon. You're not then worrying about when the next outburst is going to be. You're not looking back and seeing how when it leaks out, it's impacted all of your relationships. Sometimes we lose an afternoon because we have to feel, and it is so worth it in the end. Earlier, I had mentioned that we get to show a picture of God through our emotional maturity. Well, we don't do that through stuffing. We don't do that through controlling or managing. We actually have to feel. Emotional maturity is not living in the box. It's giving God authority over our feelings. And we don't have to live in fear of our emotions anymore. When I think of emotions that strike fear, anger pretty immediately comes to mind. I think everyone here at some point has been negatively impacted by anger or an angry outburst. But I think anger gets an unfairly bad rap. I saw this What Would Jesus Do meme online that got me thinking. And it says, if anyone ever asks you, what would Jesus do? Remind them that flipping over tables and chasing people with a whip is within the realm of possibilities. It's challenging, but it's, you know, we see so many examples of God's anger or Jesus' anger, and we talk about this righteous anger. What the heck does that even mean? What is righteous anger? Is that an excuse to justify how we're feeling and our anger? This is where that mental shift we talked about earlier is important. that change from emotion being a noun to a verb. What is the object of our anger? What are we angry about? We should definitely be slow to anger. We see this in James 1, because it's giving us time to process. It's giving us time to ask the important questions. What is the object of my anger? Is that object in line with what God's doing? Do I have all of the necessary information, or do I need to be asking people questions and clarifying? See, when we ask these why questions about Jesus' anger in the temple, he wasn't angry because they were taking up space or because it was noisy. No, they were stopping people from entering the temple. People had to buy wares from them to get in. And so he's angry that they're stopping others from having a relationship with God. We can be angry at injustice. In Ephesians 4:26, we see, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry." And I love some translations say, "Be angry and do not sin." Again, it's not the emotion that we have to fear, but we have to work through it. We have to be aware of what's the result from it. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Do you know what that's saying? Don't stuff. Work through it. Process it. Hand it over to God. When we stuff, that's when it boils over. That's when we see outbursts like Spock in that scene we watched in the beginning. And so often we associate anger with violence, but really that's the unhealthy manifestation. That violence, that outburst is the result of living in the box too long. Anger that we've processed through, anger that's in tune with what God's doing, it guides us. And it gives us energy to go right or wrong. Now, sometimes our emotions come out looking like something else. Maybe there's an emotion that you're particularly uncomfortable feeling. See, when I get angry, I cry. And that's because growing up as a woman, we're told that women are emotional beings, you know, women cry, but you can't feel angry. And so when I'm really angry, I don't know how to express it, and it comes out as tears. Men are often told the opposite, that the men can't cry, but you can be angry. When's the last time that maybe you lashed out at someone? But it's not because you're feeling angry, it's really because you're afraid. So we're talking about emotions. We're talking about not living in the box, reaching a stage of emotional maturity. Let's revisit the why question. Why do we have emotions? Well, we know that we're made in God's image. We see this in Genesis 1:27. And we know that God has emotions. I have plenty of references up here. So technically, we answered our why question right there. We have emotions because we're made in God's image and God has emotions. That's safe. It's not shaking any walls. Everyone could kind of nod along to that. And it's easy to stop there. But I want to go a little deeper. I want to take it further. See, when we avoid feeling, either because it makes us uncomfortable or because we grew up believing that it was not okay, we miss out on a deeper relationship with God. To deny certain emotions is to deny getting to know certain parts of God. If we never let ourselves experience jealousy, do we really understand what it means to worship a jealous God? If we never let ourselves feel anger and sorrow, and instead we stuff it, suddenly all of these emotional stories in the Bible turn into words on a page. We're disconnected from it. Oftentimes, we think that emotion should look a certain way. And very quickly, emotions turn into a checklist. This is what love looks like. This is how hope is expressed. And we do this, heck, I do this, because it puts me in control. But we rob God of his power when we try to define what our emotions should be. Do you trust God with your emotions? Do you believe that you can experience true emotional joy in the midst of hardship? I'm not talking about checklist kind of joy. I'm not talking about having just a faith in good will come and I can put a smile on and this is what joy looks like and this is how joy is expressed. But do you believe that God can transform your heart and give you true emotional joy in the midst of sorrow? Do we believe that we can experience a true emotional love with God? The same kind of emotional love you experience with a spouse, your children, your close family and friends. Not a theoretical, not a logical love, but emotional kind of love. We see, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Love him with all of your mind. God wants a love from passion. He doesn't want a love from duty and checklists. We get so preoccupied with what love should be. Oh, I did that. Ooh, that was a very loving thing for me to do. And I could really grow in that one way. But, oh, that's definitely good. And we get so busy and our heads are so full of the checklist that we miss out on what's really important. We miss out on the relationship with God. We can't willpower ourselves into an emotional kind of love. We can certainly think our way into a logical or theoretical love, but we can't just make an emotional love happen. No, emotional love, that level of sincere love, starts with relationship. Because God really does want an up-close and personal relationship with you. Maybe I'm weird. To me, unconditional love always seemed distant. To me, unconditional love was impersonal, kind of a step removed. Of course God loves me. He loves me unconditionally. And it wasn't until Marshall and I started dating that I started to understand unconditional love and love because can coexist. God can love you for who you are. God loves you unconditionally because of who you are. And God can love the whole world because he has a relationship with each person in the world. He knows you intimately. He knows how many hairs are on your head. We've talked about the first commandment. I do want to talk about the second one, but before we leave. So you see, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And in Matthew 5, we're called to love our enemies. So we're given two very clear groups of people to love, our neighbors and our enemies. We can't love the whole world in the same way that God does. We can have a logical love for the whole world, but we can't experience that emotional love. A couple of weeks ago, I made this banana bread. It was really good. It was, yeah. And this isn't my, it's almost lunchtime brain talking. No, so Marshall and I were so excited about this banana bread. We're telling my mom about it. Sorry to put you on the spot. Love you. And Marshall says, this is the best banana bread recipe. And if you know my mom, she gets a sly little smile on her face and she says, well, that's just silly. Have you tried every banana bread recipe in the world? In the same way that I can't try every banana bread recipe in the world, I can't get to know every person in the world. Emotional love is up close and it's personal. We can love our neighbors and our enemies because we can establish a relationship with them. And it's this emotional love, this sincere love, but is how we live authentically. Have you ever come across or met someone that comes across as fake, where they're doing all the checklists? They're checking off all the boxes of what love looks like or what joy looks like, but you can see straight through it. There's no depth to it. There's no emotion behind it. It's empty. Earlier, I asked the question, is love a choice or a feeling? It has to be both. Love without the feeling, love without the emotion is empty. People can see straight through it. If we want to show God's authentic love to others, we have to feel authentically. We have to experience emotions. And it's definitely both. We get to the emotional love through the choice. We can grow love through reconnecting. Through a number of past relationships, I had developed a really unhealthy coping mechanism. See, if I thought someone was upset or angry at me, I would shut down. Walls would come up. I didn't want to say or do anything that would give them a reason to be upset with me. And so I just shut off, and I would physically put more space. I just didn't want to upset anything. And the first time that Marshall and I got in an argument, I did that subconsciously. I didn't even realize I was doing it. And instead of taking that as an opportunity to make his point, to win the argument, instead he gets really quiet and he looks at me. And he just says, I'm losing a part of you. Don't disappear on me. I don't want there to be any barriers or walls. I miss you. I want all of you back. Every time we got in an argument, I have to make a conscious decision to stay engaged. But every time I do, I walk away feeling more in love. But you have to choose to reconnect. Ask yourself, are there any emotions that you've put walls up? Are there emotions that you're uncomfortable feeling? Are there emotions that you're suppressing? Can you picture God saying this to you? I'm losing a part of you. Don't disappear on me. I don't want there to be any walls or barriers. I miss you. I want all of you back. The band's going to come back up, and they're going to play some music as we talk about learning to express emotions in a healthy way. How do we learn to live in the emotion? How do we learn to let the strong emotion be okay and not live out of the outburst? See, I wish that I had a no-fail method or an easy solution, but ultimately it boils down to practice. Emotional maturity doesn't happen overnight. So the first way that we can practice is through finding a community. Find people that you trust, a safe environment. Sometimes we can't process our emotions right in that moment because things are happening. But it's important to find a community where you can. The second thing is to open up. Be vulnerable. We can't process through, we can't work through it if we're not being vulnerable. You actually have to tell someone how you're feeling. And the last thing is, if you're on the other side of it, if somebody else is opening up to you, you have to validate. If somebody's telling you how they feel, instead of immediately jumping into advice or, well, here's what I would do or here's what you're doing wrong, acknowledge the emotion. Acknowledge how hard it is to be vulnerable with emotions. I understand you're feeling that way. It is totally valid to feel that way. And never use but or just change the subject. Your feelings are valid. And we're going to do a little bit of a practice right now while they play. Can everyone hear me? Okay, good. I want everyone to kind of close their eyes. If you want to. What emotion have you shut out from? What emotion are you not letting yourself feel right now? And begin to open that door. Maybe you're feeling sad and you don't want the floodgates to open, and so you've been putting it off. Maybe you're really angry about something and you don't want to admit that you're angry. Maybe you're afraid of something. Maybe there's something that just gives you anxiety and fear. Or maybe you feel nothing. Maybe you're so stuck and you just want to feel something, anything. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to allow the Holy Spirit in right now. Allow him into the emotion that you're feeling. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come be with us. Show us where you are in the midst of our emotion. Show us the about. Show us what you're doing through it. And the last thing that we're going to do is maybe the most challenging part of it all. I want you to turn to the person sitting next to you and tell them how you feel. Look at someone and say, I am really angry right now. Or turn to someone and say, I have so much joy, I don't know how to contain it. Turn to someone and say, I'm so sad. Take an opportunity and tell someone how you're feeling.
To the fountain, deep your heart in the streams of life, send the sorrow, be washed away in the waves of his mercy. Deep cries out too deep.